Let's just seek the Lord, please, in a word of opening prayer. We commit our way to the Lord, our Father and our God. We thank Thee for the privilege again of coming to worship Thee. And we ask, O God, for Your help, for Your presence to be with us today. Give us help, Lord, as we would come, Lord, around the Word of God. Lord, as we come to worship our great God, give us, O Lord, that help that we need. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to commence by singing the words of hymn number 27. Hymn number 27, you're following in our hymn books, it's page 186. Come let us with our Lord arise. Our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made and rose triumphant from the dead. We'll stand as we sing this opening hymn, please. Let's seek again the Lord in prayer, asking for His help and His presence with us. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for this day. We thank the Lord that Thy word declares this is the day that the Lord hath made. And Lord, help us therefore to rejoice and be glad in it. But Lord, we thank Thee, Lord, that this is not a day like any other day. We thank Thee, O God, that this is the Lord's day. This day reminds us, O God, that we serve a Saviour who is alive and alive forevermore. We thank the Lord that on the first day of the week, Lord, He arose triumphant over sin, death and hell. We praise Thee, O God, today that we serve, we come to worship a Saviour who is alive. We thank the Lord for one who is seated at the Father's right hand in glory. We thank the Lord for the one who lived for us, the one who died for us. And Lord, we thank Thee for that one who lives again for us. in that power of an endless life. And our Father, we pray that as we come, Lord, into thy presence, as we come, Lord, into thy house, as we come to worship thee today, O God, we pray that we might be taken up with the greatness of our God. Lord, help us to have those high and lofty views of our Saviour. Help us, O God, to ever get our eyes fixed on the One who is the Lamb upon his throne today. O God, we pray that you'll take our eyes, our thoughts, our minds, Lord, away from the things, Lord, have taken up our thoughts in this past week. Lord, even the plans that have been made for the week that lies ahead. Help us, O God, to get our minds and our eyes focused on Christ. Help us, Lord, to see the One who is the captain of our salvation. And, O God, we pray that in seeing him, may our souls be thrilled. O God, we ask for that very special help, Lord, today. Lord, we need the help of the Spirit as we come to worship thee. Lord, this is not something, Lord, that we can do of ourselves. Lord, we need thy help. Therefore, O God, come. Lord, bind the strong man today. Lord, spoil his goods. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us, Lord, to get our eyes fixed on the Saviour. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes fixed upon his word today. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless all who have been enabled to gather in the house of the Lord this morning. We thank you, Lord, again for the gathering together on this first Lord's day of another new week. O God, we thank thee, O God, for each one that has been enabled to come, for the health, the strength you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, that we're here, the living to praise thee. And our Father, we pray that you'll do all of our hearts good, Lord, as we would seek to worship thee today. We ask, O God, for each one, Lord, in this house. We ask, O God, as well, for those not able to join with us today. Remember, Lord, those who are unwell. Remember, Lord, our elderly folk no longer able to gather with us as once they did. Draw very near to them and encourage them today. Remember again Richard there in hospital. Just draw near, O God, to thy dear child at this time, to Helen and to all the family. We commit them again to the loving arms of the Saviour. Father, Father, we pray you'll bless the going forth of thy word, not only here in Sandown, but across our city, Lord, at this time, across our capital city, Lord, the city of Belfast. O God, even as we heard on Tuesday night past, Lord, the blessings of God, the power of God made bare. Lord, a day has gone by, and O Lord, we cry unto thee, do it again. O God, we cry unto thee, Lord, start that work within this heart of mine. Lord, stir us, O God, we pray. Take us away from the coldness and the apathy that we're in. And O God, we pray that you'll give us a holy boldness for God in these dark and sinful days. Our Father, we pray you'll help us, Lord, to raise that standard for truth and for righteousness. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless across our city, Lord, for each one that's faithful to thee and to the word of God. Bless the going forth of the gospel and across our land. And ye, Lord, across our nation at this time, O God, we cry unto thee for that breath of God, the Holy Spirit. Come, O God, we pray. Turn us as a people, Lord, back to thyself, O God, we pray. Work in us, work through us, O God. And the Heavenly Father, we pray that we'll see the hand of our God made bare. Our Father, we pray you'll remember, Lord, those who are serving thee in hard and difficult places this morning, across, Lord, the continent of Europe and across every nation of this world. Remember the persecuted church today. We ask, O God, that you'll remember those that do not have the liberty such as we have to worship thee publicly and openly. Lord, we pray you'll draw near to them and strengthen them. Lord, we pray you'll defeat the plans of evil and wickedness against them. And, O God, we pray that the gospel will run and have free course and be glorified in every land and in every nation at this time. And so, Lord, we look to thee. Bless us, we pray. Bless Harry as he would come and tell us, Lord, of the work, Lord, of those shoeboxes. We thank you, Lord, for the help, Lord, that this congregation and many others were able to give, Lord, in the sending of help, Lord, in a very tangible way, particularly to our brothers and sisters there in Ukraine. Encourage them today, we pray. Bless them, O God, we ask, and bless Harry as he would come and speak to us today as well. So we look to thee. Bless us, we pray, Lord, as we come to worship thee. Give us a good day, a blessed day in the house of the Lord. And we will be careful to give thee the praise, all of the glory and all of the honour, for thou alone art worthy of such. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can I ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this morning to the book of Genesis and the chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to commence a new series this morning, looking at the life of Joseph. And we want to read the opening part of this life, his witness as it is recorded for us in the scriptures, Genesis chapter 37. Now we have 14 chapters to get through, so we're not going to be in any rush, and we're not going to get there anytime soon, but we will get there hopefully to chapter 50 sometime before the Lord returns. But anyway, Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to read the first 22 verses of this chapter. Genesis chapter 37, and the verse 1, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the land was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, Doth not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, Here am I. And he said unto him, Go, I pray thee, see whether it will be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence. For I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him. We will cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben heard it, and delivered him out of their hands, and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless the reading of his word to our hearts. This morning we're glad to welcome back Harry to our congregation here in Sandown, and also glad to have Adele as well, glad to have you both. And we've asked Harry to come and give us an update and a report of the shoebox appeal that we were all involved with just before Christmas. So Harry, you're very welcome. The Lord bless you if you come and speak to us. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. So I'm glad to be able to come back here and to tell you about what has happened. And I just want to say a really big thank you at the very start for every item that was donated. Every shoebox, every bag, every toy, every blanket that was given has made a difference in the life of a child. And that's a really, really big deal. And we're really, really thankful. And I actually wanted to just read a wee passage out of 2 Timothy. You don't need to turn to it if you don't want to, but it just says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, and Paul says this, The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And just Paul recognised what this man Onesiphorus done. He was refreshing him whenever Paul was in prison. He was taking care of Paul practically. And I want to encourage you that you've done something very similar in helping out these boys and girls in Ukraine. I want to encourage you that the project's over, but the need still isn't over. And day to day we meet people who are in need. So if the guys at the back can hit through the first slide. So this is actually, this PowerPoint is the PowerPoint I use when we go into assemblies. And so we collected shoeboxes from loads of different schools. And this has given us opportunities to take assemblies. And you can see the top right hand corner here, and this is Regent House. And then over in this here corner with the blue jumpers, that's Portadown Independent Christian School. So there's some schools you might know of, and then there's a lot of schools in the Lurgan, Portadown area, and we went as far as Omahai. So we did, so we got about rightly. And then all of these shoeboxes were taken back to Rushmere Shopping Centre. So if you could hit the next. And so these are some of our volunteers. You might recognise some of them there. And so what happened was, our shoeboxes were sorted through. We made sure that each one had the correct items in it, because a lot of it was from schools, to make sure it was all correct. And there was gospel literature put into each one. So there was literature from the revival movement was put in, and there was Gospels of John in Ukrainian. And then, if you'll hit the next slide. So this was the number of shoeboxes in total. Now, don't put the number up yet. I normally do this with a packet of sweets when I'm in a school, but I actually forgot the packet of sweets this morning, so apologies. I'm sure that Mr. Wilson will be able to provide sweets from somewhere. Like, but does anybody want to take a guess at how many we have there? Any of the younger ones? Do you want to take a guess? Anybody? Older ones can guess too. Yes, how many do you think? 100. Anybody think anything else? 100. Right, we'll see if you're close. Is there someone else? Oh, hold on. 600. Have we got anybody else? One more guess. You've probably seen it. Did it come up? Did it? Is there good? You hit the next 970 shoeboxes. So you were close. 970 shoeboxes. So that's from schools all over Northern Ireland, churches all over Northern Ireland. And an important thing to remember is every single shoebox is another child's life who's been impacted. That's 970, nearly 1,000 children who've been impacted by what you've done. Okay? So, I'll show you now the route that it took. So actually, what happened then was they were all loaded up into the lorry. This is the team. And then the next slide. So they were taken up to Newton Ards, and they were sorted into three vans. And then the next slide, they went down to Dublin. Now bear in mind as well, this is the slide the PowerPoint I use for assemblies. I'm not actually trying to show you where Dublin is like. then they went across England, and again, and then to mainland Europe. And so they were taken to the Ukrainian border. Now, Northern Irish vans can't really get, well, it's very difficult for them to get across into Ukraine. So a lorry met us it was the Faith in Action team, met the vans in Poland and took the items across into Ukraine. And then the second lorry, which is the white one you can see in the picture, it drove across Ukraine to this city called Kharkiv. Of course, this would have been a very dangerous journey, but it shows the willingness for the driver, shows how important they see this project. And so they arrived in an area called Sokolova. So in the schools, I always like to get everybody to try and say the word Sokolova. So we'll all try to say this town's name, alright? So, one, two, Sokolova. Speaking Ukrainian. Brilliant. So they arrived here, and this is the church in Sokolova, which Faith in Action have contacts with, and they've been working with them. So they took all of the items and kept them then for distribution after Christmas time. So I'll show you now some of the photos. So this is just a wee video. Yep, far away. And then we'll keep going. So these then are some of the photos of the kids receiving their bags. And sorry, if you jump back again, sorry. You can see the older kids have rucksacks. And this was items that were, say, donated in Sainsbury's bags or something. Whenever it was suitable for older children, we put them into rucksacks because it might be something that a teenager might not have. You know, if they get a shoebox sort of thing, they might be more interested in that. So keep going through them then. There was a nativity play then at the church, and that's where a lot of items were given out, and you'll see that then, I think, in the next slide. So these are some of the kids who came along. And this is just then a wee video. Slide down, please. So we just want to say a really big thank you, and hopefully from that video you can see their reaction. This isn't something that they're taking for granted. Each of these shoeboxes has made a really big difference in the lives of boys and girls out in Ukraine. So I want to say a really big thank you for taking part. So thank you.
All right, thank you very much for coming and sharing with us that report, that update. So you'll have seen that the little time that you took just to go out and get those things, put them into shoeboxes, meant a big deal to those young people, those children there in Ukraine, which who have very little. And so we're thankful for Serve Youth and the work in Faith in Action for the time and effort that they have spent in getting all of the logistics sorted out and arranged for that shoebox of pain. May the Lord continue to bless them. Harry, thank you for being with us, and Adele as well. Thank you for being with us today. We want to welcome you all this morning to our morning service. We're glad to see you in the house of the Lord. To those who are visiting with us as well, we welcome you in the Saviour's name. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you this morning. Can I remind you just of a few matters throughout this today and the week ahead in God's will? We have our Sunday school over in Redburn this afternoon at 2:30. And then we have our gospel meeting tonight again at 6:30. And love to see you back again for the gospel service tonight at 6:30. There'll be the season of prayer beforehand at 6. I'll be here to preach, God willing, and the Walker sisters will be here to sing. And also after the meeting tonight, we'll be having a season of prayer in preparation for our gospel mission, our 60th anniversary gospel mission in the month of May. So I trust that you're able to join with us for that season of prayer after the gospel meeting tonight. Explorers Club back on again this Tuesday night after the half-term break at 6:30. And also on Tuesday night, that's the continuation of the special meetings that we're having with the Reverend Higginson on the theme of revival and revivalists. This Tuesday night, Roger will be dealing with the man Evan Roberts and the Welsh Revival of 1904. These have been blessed meetings, very, very encouraging meetings, and I trust that you'll make every effort to join with us this Tuesday night again for that special meeting, 8 o'clock. Then our youth fellowship on Friday night at 8 o'clock, and Brother Mark will be speaking at youth on Friday evening. This Saturday morning, coming, God willing, will be the annual memorial service for the late Fred Sorrett and James Cummings, and that will be held down the usual place in Royal Avenue at 10:45 a.m. And all are invited along to that. Next Sunday, we have our morning worship service, 7:30 and 6:30. The Sunday schools, 10:15 and 2:30. I'll be here to preach, God willing, and our brother Nigel Davidson will be along to sing. We want to wish our brother Matthew Dillon a very happy 18th birthday. Matthew turned 18 this past week, and to Matthew, want to wish him a very happy 18th birthday. The Missionary Council offering came to £275 last week. There's also a £50 gift for the Ugandan Building and Vehicle Appeal. Do remember the consultation that we've been asked to make our views known on relation to the Belfast City Council's desire to ban the use of PA systems in the city centre, and all the details were sent out to you last weekend. If you still haven't got those details or you want to get them, please do let me know and we will get them to you. That is for anybody. You don't have to live in the City Council area at all. It's open for everybody to reply to, and so we'd encourage as many as possible to reply to that before the deadline, the 4th of March. Do continue to remember all who are unwell in the congregation, those who are shut in, our elderly folk. Also remember those who haven't been well over recent times and in hospital. Crystal has got home from hospital, and do continue to remember her in your prayers. Do continue to remember Richard in hospital as well. The Lord will draw very near to Richard, Helen, and all the family at this very difficult time for them. You'll have seen our brother Donald Fleming there in those photographs that Harry shown. Donald, of course, works and heads up the Faith in Action, and Donald was in the same ward as Richard. He was there for almost 4 weeks until he was moved over to the Royal, and he's had his operation, now home from hospital, but still does appreciate your prayers. So please do remember Donald as well in prayer. Do remember the offering boxes available for your tithes and offerings. We make all of these announcements subject to the Lord's plan and purpose. We want to sing another hymn together, please, at this stage. Hymn number 39. Hymn number 39, this is William Cowper's hymn, which really sums up much about the life of Joseph that we'll be considering over the next coming weeks and months. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Hymn number 39. Let's stand as we sing this hymn, please. Let's turn back again to Genesis chapter 37, please. And this morning will be by way of introduction to our studies in the life of Joseph. And we want to consider some details this morning about the dreamer, of course, as he was known, nicknamed as, by his brothers. Genesis chapter 37, and with God's word open before us, let's fill our hearts, please, in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee again for thy precious truth. We thank thee, O God, that we have the word of God in our own language. Lord, we have the scriptures that we can read, we can understand. But, O God, we pray that as we come now again to the scriptures of truth, that you'll help us, Lord, that you'll be with us. O God, we need the help, the enlightening power of God, the Holy Spirit, to open our hearts, to open our minds. We acknowledge, O Lord, that these things are beyond, Lord, our understanding. And, O God, we pray therefore for the help of the Spirit of the living God to come and reveal thy truth to us. Lord, as we consider some, Lord, remarks about this man, Joseph, Lord, we pray for that understanding heart. We pray, Lord, for that willing mind, Lord, to do what God the Lord would have to say to us. So be with us just now. Give us help, O God, we ask. And, Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. In the Saviour's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Joseph's life really had all the elements of a truly great story. It had ambition, it had youth, it had beauty, it had temptation, it had sorrow, it had jealousy, it had hatred, it had forgiveness, it had promotion. It really has all the elements, as I've said, of what is a tremendous story. Joseph had it all, and more besides, and that is probably why Joseph's life, his study, is perhaps one of the favourite character studies in all the Old Testament. His life is marked by many ups and many downs, many circumstances that would have devastated many another. Yet they were all used in the moulding and in the shaping of the life of Joseph. And as we've said over the next number of weeks and months in the will of the Lord, as we trace the life of this man, we'll discover that this was a pathway with sorrow. It was a pathway with much heartache, a pathway with much injustice and uncertainty. Yet it was always the right pathway. Because the Lord brought all of these strands together in the life of Joseph. And we read those tremendous words in Genesis chapter 40 that the Lord was with Joseph. It seemed that Joseph reached points in his life from which there was no comeback. Points in his life that seemed to dictate that his life was over. Yet because the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord brought him through. And all that took place, and all that we will consider in the life of Joseph over the next number of weeks, God willing, we'll see that God was working all things together. And such is the prominence and the importance of this man's life, that the latter part of the book of Genesis is given over to his life. And as we study Joseph in the weeks to come, I trust that as we learn not just more about Joseph, but more especially we'll learn more about the Lord that he served and what that has to say to us today. Three things by way of introduction that we want to consider this morning as we consider the details about the dreamer. First of all, I want us to notice the theme of the study. The theme of Joseph's life. Now, there will be many different themes that we will take up throughout the course of these studies in weeks to come. But I believe there's one overarching theme in all of his life, and that is the providence of God. Joseph's life, as we will trace our studies, is really the outworking of the providence of God in a most remarkable way. Remember, he was brought up in a home that was anything but normal. His father was a cheater. He was a con man. His brothers hated him. He ended up in a pit. His life was viewed as nothing, as worthless. Then Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. There were just years of one problem after another. And every twist and turn, and every dark day and every hard day in his life, Joseph saw the bigger picture. He saw that God was at work even in the dark days. He saw that man's plans were nothing compared to God's plans. Joseph saw the providence of God in his life. The verse, the theme verse that we want to consider, as in all of our studies, is found right almost at the very end of the account of his life in Genesis 50 and the verse 20, where he says, "But as for you," speaking to his brothers, "ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Ye thought evil against me, and they did, but God meant it to good." You see, he saw the providence of God in his life. Folks, I wonder, do we see the providence of God in our lives? When life takes that turn from the worst, do we see that God has ordained and God has planned every step of our lives? So much that happens to us in life, it's never the way we choose. It's never the pathway we would pick. When sickness comes our way, when financial troubles are at our door, when family problems are mounting, when death has come and taken our loved ones, they're all calamities to the natural eye, but they are all in God's providence, his sovereign plan and purpose for us. Just think of Joseph in that pit, thrown there by his brothers and then sold as a slave into Egypt. How could this ever be for his good? How could such a catastrophe from a human point of view ever be for good? And yet if you know anything about the life of Joseph, you know it was. Because you see, so often we can interpret events in our lives in the one dimension. We just see single events. We don't see the whole picture. We don't see that God is working behind the scenes. We don't see that God is working all things together for our good. And whenever it seems that your back is against the wall, and whenever it seems that everything is against you, remember that there's a sovereign God who's working all things together for your good. There is nothing that happens in your life or in my life that happens by chance. There is nothing that happens outside the will of God. Never forget that. Circumstances are not in control of your life. Calamities are not in control of your life. Your Creator, your Maker is in control of your life. Everything happens for a purpose. Everything. And Joseph saw that. And he's able to come to the end of his life and see that God was working all things together. Genesis 50 and verse 20, that verse that we've already mentioned, where he talked about the brothers meaning an evil against him, but God meant it for good. It's really the Old Testament equivalent, I believe, of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. Joseph was forsaken by his brethren. He was framed by Potiphar's wife. He was forgotten by the butler. There was just one problem after another. But yet in it all, he saw the hand of God. Maybe you're in some pit of despair this morning, and escape seems impossible. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. And you can't see how this is working together for good. It's not always evident that God is working in your life. But surely as we consider the life of Joseph, we'll see that how God chooses and God molds a man, even in the very darkest of days, according to his overall purpose. Joseph's confidence, you see, was not in his circumstances, but rather in the God who controlled all his circumstances. He saw the bigger picture of what God was doing. He saw that God's purposes were bigger than any of his brother's purposes. He saw that God could take that which seemed to be against him and turn it for his good. Is that not how we should live the Christian life? Whenever we see circumstances, or whenever we are in circumstances that seem to be against us, may God give us the grace, God give us the faith, God give us the trust to see in this God is a purpose, in this God is a plan, and in this God is working this for my good. We don't see it at the time. We don't understand it at the time. But then are we not called to walk by faith? Not by sight. That's what Joseph did from his earliest days as a child. He learned to believe that what he couldn't see was more important than what he could. Never questioned God, why, Lord, why am I in this pit? Why am I in this prison? Why am I in this situation with Potiphar's wife? He never asked those questions. He believed that God was in control. And as we consider his life in further detail in weeks to come, may we always remember this theme: the sovereignty and the purpose of God in his life and in our lives. May we realize that God has a purpose even in the bad things that happen to us. And surely Joseph's life, as it unfolds over the next number of weeks, we shall see. It is testament to the reality that God is working all things together for good. So the overriding theme of this study in the life of Joseph is that of God's sovereignty. But secondly, I want us to see not only the theme in this study, but also the testimony. Because as we look at the life of Joseph with all of its twists and turns over the coming weeks, there's a tremendous testimony that shines through here. A tremendous example in this man's life. A tremendous example for every Christian to seek to follow. Let's notice some things about the testimony of Joseph's life that will set the scene for the rest of our studies in his life. First of all, part of his testimony is that he was faithful. He was faithful. Joseph had this overriding desire in all that he did to please God. He had such a testimony of faithfulness to his God when in his pit, when in the pit he was faithful to God, when in the palace he was faithful to God, when in the prison he was faithful to God. Faithfulness enshrined his life throughout all of his life. Is that not one aspect of modern day Christianity that's lacking? Faithfulness to God through every stage of life. Many will be faithful to God when it's easy. Many will be faithful to God when it's convenient. Many will be faithful to God when it suits. But how many can say that we are faithful to God throughout every stage of our lives? Consistent Christianity, consistent Christian living is a character to cherish and to desire. Such a testimony to the grace and to the goodness of God in your life. Not serving God with inconsistency, up today, down tomorrow, stopping today, starting tomorrow, but consistently serving God every day of your life with a faith that shines through every hard and every difficult day. That's how it was for Joseph. You see, in this ungodly, in this secular age, we can all too often use the excuse of the conditions. to excuse our lack of faithfulness. Well, things are too hard today. It's too tough to be a Christian today. The opposition's too great. It's just too hard to serve the Lord. It's too hard to do anything for the Lord. It's just too hard. And then we give up. And we stop being faithful in our service. Remember, Joseph found himself in a generation that hated God. Joseph found himself in a place that hated God. He found himself in situations that probably, in Egypt especially, that far surpasses even this present evil age. Yet he stood as a beacon for truth, for righteousness, for Christ. He was faithful. So whenever we think about giving up in our service for God because it's too hard, remember Joseph. Remember he was faithful. Not only was he faithful, but another part of his testimony is that he was favored. Now, of course, when we think about this, we think about the favoritism that was shown by his father, Jacob, as we read in verse 3, or Israel as he is named there in verse 3, loved Joseph more than the other brothers, and we'll consider the errors of that in weeks to come. But I mean he was favored in a far greater way. As we said at the start, we read in Genesis 40 that the Lord was with Joseph. Because you see, Joseph stood with the Lord. And the Lord stood with Joseph. Them that honour me, the Lord says, I will honour. Whenever a Christian stands for God, consistent in our witness, consistent in our service for God, then the Lord will be with us. We all know Joseph as being the dreamer. We read of those dreams in chapter 37. But you see, those dreams show just how in touch with the Lord he really was. God was pleased to use this man to reveal truth to him, to reveal certain things that would happen to him. Joseph was a man in touch with God. Joseph was a man with whom the Lord was pleased to use. Are we those people? Are we those people that the Lord can use? By our faithful, consistent Christian living, knowing the blessing of God, are we the people that God can use? Do we have such a relationship with the Lord? But we are the very people through whom the Lord can speak. The hymn talks about channels of blessing. We channels of blessing today to those around us. Is our life a witness for the Lord? As others look upon us, do they see Christ within us? Could it be said of us as it was said of Joseph? The Lord is with them. Do they see something different about our lives? Something different about our conduct? Something different about our walk? May we be those people for whom the Lord can use. Not only do we see in his testimony that he was faithful. Not only do we see in his testimony that he was favored. But also we see in his testimony that he was forgiving. Forgiving. If ever there was a man who could be forgiven for not forgiving, it was Joseph. If ever there was a man who we'd say, well, it's understandable that he might hold a grudge against his brothers, considering all that he did, how he threw them in a pit, sold them, lied about them. Yet whenever his brothers came to Egypt looking for food at that time of famine, what did Joseph do? He was forgiving. He looked after them. He wasn't bitter towards them. He showed real Christian love and care and compassion toward them. He was forgiving. I know forgiveness is hard. to those who have wronged us and those who have spoken ill against us and planned and worked against us. But surely if we're going to progress in our Christian life and a Christian walk, then we cannot do that by holding grudges. The best thing to do with those who have wronged us, with those who have spoken ill against us, just leave them to the Lord. Leave them to the Lord. And you seek to move on and to press on in your living for the Lord. Joseph, in his testimony, he was forgiven. Joseph, in his testimony, was favored. Joseph, in his testimony, was faithful. Do we have such a testimony today to the grace of God in our lives? The theme of this study is the overriding theme of the providence of God. The testimony in this study. But finally, I want us to notice then the teaching in this study. As we've said, of course, this study will focus on those events that take place in Joseph's life from Genesis 37 right through to chapter 50. It takes up quite a period of time. It takes up an awful lot of major milestones in the life of Joseph. And as I've said, I don't know how long it'll take us. But we'll just work through it. But one of the greatest teachings in the life of Joseph is that not how we can live for God, and that's important. Not how we can witness for God, and that's important. But one of the greatest teachings in the life of this man is that how this man, Joseph, is an Old Testament type of Christ. How that when we see Joseph, we should see Jesus. All the major accounts and events in his life, they speak to us and they point us to the greater Joseph, to Christ himself. Joseph is one of those very few Old Testament characters, probably Daniel being another, who never failed, who never faltered in his living for Christ. And as we go through these studies, and I would encourage you read on ahead. You read on the next number of verses as we come to each study each week, even before I come to preach them. But as you do so, let's not learn more about Joseph. May this just not be a history lesson on the life of Joseph. But may it be a lesson, instruction, teaching on the life of Christ. All Scripture speaks of him. All Scripture points to Christ. Let me suggest to you some ways in which Joseph is a type of Christ. First of all, in his position. Joseph was loved by his father. He was given a position far greater than the others. And as we'll look at in weeks to come, the comparison there is clear. But Joseph was the beloved son of his father, Jacob or Israel. He was held in high esteem by his father, just as Christ was. The testimony of Christ, testimony of the Father of the Son, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Even in that coat that was given to him, it speaks of rank, it speaks of honour, that he was preeminent above all the others. So is Christ. Christ is not as we are. Christ is higher, Christ is holier than all others. Not only do we see Christ in the position that Joseph had, but we see Christ as well in the humiliation that Joseph endured. Joseph was hated by his brethren, and as a result, thrown into the pit, sold as a slave into Egypt. And how descriptive that is of Christ. Christ was humiliated in his coming into this world, the one who left that position of preeminence, the one who left that position of prominence to become a slave. And hated by those that he came to save. They rejected him just as they rejected Joseph. The revered son became the rejected servant. And as the brothers took Joseph in their hatred and their envy towards him, and they stripped him of that robe, and they humiliated him, and they threw him into the darkness of that pit and left him for dead. How that speaks to us of the greater than Joseph. How that he was taken by cruel and wicked hands, stripped him, mocked him, spat upon him, put him on a cross, leaving him there for dead. His humiliation speaks to us of the humiliation that Christ had to endure at the hands of those he came to save. Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. That's the price of an Old Testament slave. Christ was sold for 30 pieces. That's the price of a New Testament slave. The comparison, I trust, is clear for all to see. But the one who was the revered son became the rejected servant. Not only do we see Christ in Joseph's position and in Joseph's humiliation, but we see it also in Joseph's temptation. Joseph endured the temptations of sin and Satan through the hands of Potiphar's wife. And she tried to seduce him, tried to bring him down. That didn't work. She lied about him. And yet Joseph didn't give in to that temptation. Now, of course, he could have. He could have. He had that sinful nature, as we all do, that could have allowed sin to overcome him and overwhelm him. But Joseph fled from that temptation. He fled from the evil seducer. And what a testimony that is for us to flee from sin. But what a picture as well of Christ. In his humanity, he was tempted by Satan there in the wilderness. But remember, Christ wasn't able to sin. It's not that he didn't sin. He wasn't able to sin. Could not sin. And how that Christ in his temptations set for us a perfect example of how we should overcome sin and temptation as well. We see the teaching of Joseph in his life, it points to Christ in his position, in his humiliation, in his temptation. But we see it as well in Joseph's exaltation. Joseph, through all the troubles and the hatred, he was exalted. We read in chapter 37 about the two dreams that he had. And we'll consider them in more detail in weeks to come. But one of the dreams involved the harvest, the other involved the heavens. In one of them there were the sheaves, in the other there were the stars. The dream that involved the harvest had all the sheaves of the field bowing down to Joseph's sheaf. That showed that all the resources of the land would be under Joseph's control. And then the dream that involved the heavens and the stars, the sun and the moon, all becoming obedient to Joseph, indicated that all of nature was under his control as well. You see, Joseph's dream declared that one day he would rule and reign. All the land, including his own brothers, bowing down before him. Everyone in Egypt bow the knee as Joseph was exalted far above his brethren. One of the interesting things that I hadn't seen before in the life of Joseph as I was studying this, and we come to it probably some way down, And when they all came to Egypt, they all came to Pharaoh looking for food, those times of famine. You know what Pharaoh said? He said, go to Joseph. Joseph has all the resources that you need for sustenance and for surviving. Go to Joseph. He had all the riches and all the resources that were needed. And so today, as we start this study in this life of Joseph, let's see past this man and let's go to Jesus. Let's see him today. A man who holds in his control and has within his resources all that we need. You're here today without the Savior. You're unsaved in this meeting. And today you need to go to Jesus. He has all that you need for living. He's the only one who can forgive your sins. Today, for those that are saved, you struggle with all that life throws at you. Today, go to Jesus. He's all the resources and all the riches that you'll ever need for this world. But what a picture there of Christ. In those dreams, as we said, we'll look at them in more detail in weeks to come. What a picture. That day whenever the Lord comes again and he rends the heavens. And just as all those sheaves bow down to Joseph's sheaf, one day all in this world will bow down to Christ, the all-powerful, all-glorious one. And every tongue will confess him. You see, that rejected servant is now the reigning sovereign. I trust that as we consider the life of Joseph over these weeks and months that lie ahead in the will of the Lord, that we'll get excited. It's a wonderful study. And I will seek as best I can to be of help to you as we seek to look into the life of Joseph. That will encourage us, yes, as we live for God, how that it is possible to remain faithful. Remain faithful to the Lord, even when we hit the hard times. When the world opposes, even when they turn against us, it's possible and more important that we should remain faithful to the Lord. But even greater than all that we will consider in the life of Joseph, may we see the life of Christ. And through that, may our walk with God be aided, and may our service for God be helped. Let's bow in prayer. Eternal Father and our God, we thank thee for this man, Joseph. We thank the Lord for the record of scripture that we have concerning him. And oh God, we pray that even over the weeks that lie ahead, Lord, that you'll help us to understand more. Help us, Lord, to serve thee more. Help us to be faithful to thee more, even as Joseph was. But help us, Lord, most of all, to see thee more. Help us, oh God, to love thee more. Lord, even through the times that seem to be against us, help us to realize there is a God who's working all these things together for good. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray. And Lord, today, for any who are here without Christ, far from the Savior, still unsaved, we pray, Lord, that today they'll go to the greater Joseph. They'll go to Christ today. And they will get and find in him all that they need for the forgiveness of their sins, for life, real life, abundant life, that's found alone in Christ. Be with us, we pray, in the Savior's name we ask.